You're listening to Delta Talk, a public affairs presentation of TeleSouth Communications and this station.
Good morning and welcome to Delta Talk on Super Talk Radio for the Delta, brought to you in part by the CAP Center in Indianola and the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Mississippi Delta. I'm your host, David Dallas, Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Mississippi Delta. Thank you for joining us this morning. Our guest today is the Chief Executive Officer of the Greenwood LaFleur County Hospital, CEO Jason Studley. Jason, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Jason, now you've been in healthcare for a long time, but you are relatively new in your role as CEO of the hospital. Is that correct?
That is correct. I've been here for under 3 months so far.
Okay. Well, let's start then with your impressions of the Delta. How were you familiar with the Delta before you came here and the hospital?
I actually was not very familiar with Mississippi. My wife's a native of Mississippi, and so she wanted to come back here to be closer to her family.
That's great.
I'm a rural health guy, and so we compromised that we'd get you back to Mississippi as long as we could find a rural area to settle in, and the Delta seemed like a perfect match for the both of us.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about your background. Where do you come from? Where do you hail from?
All right. Originally, I'm from Missouri, a small town there. Grew up in a population of about 1,200. And from there, I went off to get my undergrad degree at Truman State and then pursued my master's at Austin Peay in Clarksville, Tennessee. All of my degrees have been so far in healthcare administration. And I'm actually currently working on my doctorate program. Would hopefully finish that up in March of this year.
Is that also at Austin Peay? Or?
No, it is actually at A.T. Steele University, which is part of the Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine.
When you first got into, or what, actually, you said you grew up in rural Missouri. Did you always want to go into hospital administration?
Now, actually, I wanted to go to med school. And my desire while growing up was to be a pediatrician. And then while in college, I started working as an ER registration clerk at the local hospital and have just loved the operation side of the hospital and decided to pursue that side of healthcare as a career.
So once you sort of jumped into hospital administration, where were you and where have you been before you came here?
Absolutely. I started off down in Biloxi, so started off at Biloxi Regional Hospital. After Hurricane Katrina came through, was recognized by the company for my efforts during that point. And so
you were there before the hurricane and during
the
hurricane?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. And so from that point, about 16 months after all that transpired, was put on a executive fast track, I guess, so to speak, training program. Started off as a physician recruiter in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and from there was promoted to South Campus Administrator. So I ran one of the hospitals there as the number two in command. From there, I was then went to Augusta, Georgia as the assistant CEO. Was promoted to CEO of a hospital in Alabama, Greenville, Alabama.
So that was your first CEO
position? That was my first CEO position. The CEO at Augusta, where I had served as the ACEO, announced his retirement. And when that happened, the physicians actually petitioned the home office and asked to have me brought back. And so I went back there as the CEO and served a total of 9 years. And so then from there, went to Virginia most recently, served as the CEO of a hospital there in the southern part of Virginia. And then this opportunity opened up in the Delta and getting everybody closer to family, and we jumped at the opportunity.
So you said your wife was from Mississippi. Is she from the Delta or is she from?
No, she's from the coast.
She's from down on the coast, too. But you had a love for the rural hospital community or the rural hospital work.
Yes.
What is it about that attracts you so much?
I think it's a matter of the closest. It's a different type of medicine. From a physician standpoint, you have physicians that are specialized in subspecialties, and it gets down to the point that they concentrate so much in on one aspect of a condition that sometimes they can lose sight of the overall person. Whereas when you're working with rural medicine, I mean, it literally is your grandmother, your mother, your father, you're actually taking care of. It's your neighbor that is there. You'd never lose sight of the person as a whole when you concentrate in. And I just think that for rural medicine is a different aspect in and of itself. I mean, it's a different way of treating the person because you're involved in the social determinants of health as much as you are of saying, okay, this is, you know, you've got a cough, here's what you take for it. Hey, you know, how you can look at other aspects of, you know, are you able to get to your medicine? Do you have transportation to get your medicine? Do you have the funds to get your medicine? There's so much more involved in rural health that gets lost in the larger metropolitan areas. And that's just fascinating for me.
Well, I was going to say, I bet this is really fascinating for you to be in an area like this where all of those concerns, or some of those concerns and even more concerns surrounding a person's well-being.
Yes.
Has played so much into the health problems that we have here in the Delta. So if you could talk a little bit about, you know, I guess your first discussion, you know, when you were thinking about coming here, what you thought when you visited the hospital the first time, you know, not just the Delta, but what was it that you saw in the hospital that said, okay, this is where I want to come and be a CEO?
I would have to say the part of it that impressed me the most was when I first got to meet the medical staff during the interview process coming in. And the engagement level of them, they were not interviewing me down a set list of questions, asking me, you know, what problems I have solved and, you know, what I think about, you know, reimbursement rates in the area. That wasn't their concerns. What their concerns were was, who are you as a person? How are you going to fit into this community? And how are you going to benefit our community? And so they were so engaged and so focused in on, you know, the betterment of the community. It wasn't so much about, you know, hey, what does my resume look like? My resume got me in front of them, but it was who I was as a person and how I was going to fit into the community. They wanted someone, they were going to bring somebody in here that was going to take the community to a new level and was going to help this community, support the community, and be a part of the community. And that's where the focus was. This was the medical staff. And that was the part that was so impressive because, I mean.
So this was just like, certainly there's like a board of directors. And I do want to talk about this for just a minute. Greenwood LaFleur is still a public hospital. Is that
correct?
Could you, and I'm assuming you probably worked in both public and private hospitals. Could you talk to the audience a little bit about that? Because sometimes I don't think we grasp that. Could you just talk a little bit about what the difference is between the public hospital and the private hospital from your perspective?
Certainly. The majority of my background, I actually spent in for-profit.
Right. For-profit
systems, which essentially means that there's many investors. They actually own stocks and shares in the overall company. And then there's a group of hospitals that actually come together. We share resources and we standardize everything, which means it's not the decision at one hospital. If it happens at one, it happens at all 230 of the hospitals at the same time, and it's a large rollout. So it's more or less the amount of how much profit you can generate to give back to the shareholders. Now, in the not-for-profit and the public entities, it's not about making the profit from the area. It's about meeting whatever the community's needs are. Now, if you make a profit, that's great. That profit is rolled back into investing in capital.
The hospital
right,
itself.
It goes right back into the hospital itself, into community programs, those kind of things. But it's more along the lines of meeting the community needs as the main focus versus meeting shareholders' needs from the investment standpoint.
So from the private or for-profit hospital standpoint, you probably got like a corporate board that's more interested, like you said, in protecting the shareholders. And then you've got the hospital board for a public hospital like ours. And so you mentioned the medical staff. When you met with the hospital board, what was that like for you? And what did you see from them that said, okay, I can work with these folks? Because I'm assuming they are you answer to them, the board here.
Yes, that is correct. When I met with the board of directors, it was actually quite refreshing to hear them talk. Whereas coming from a for-profit hospital side, every time we have a shift in the stock market, we have to change our point of direction. The board here was focused on the future.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way we've operated in the past. However, with everything coming down, value-based care reimbursement models, new technology being introduced, their main focus and their concern, which is what got me excited, was what do we need to look like in 5 years, not what do we look like today, what do we need to look like in the next year. They were already looking into the future saying, what do we need to do today to be prepared for then?
Right. Now, let me ask you this, and I know you might not even want to speculate about it, but you know, a lot of hospitals in the Delta area have already sold out to the for-profit hospital systems. There are a few, like Greenwood LaFleur, and I think there are a couple of others here that are not. So when you talked to them, did you see a group of people that are looking more towards, okay, how can we make this hospital profitable and move on? Or do you see that, like you said, that continuing investment in the community and the hospital as a public hospital?
It's definitely the focus is on the public hospital side. Mm-hmm. Investing in the community, having the community invest in itself, and taking us into the future. There's actually plans that are there that it actually is laid out, and we're continuing to compile information to where I will actually later on this year be bringing the board a 5-year plan that says this is how where we are today financially. You know, we have some issues that we need to address.
Right.
But over the next 5 years, this is where we're going to go to make sure that we're ready for the future, both in the investments and the technology, but also in the ability to sustain ourselves from a community standpoint.
So there has been a loss at the hospital for, I'm assuming, a number of years. Is the hospital fairly profitable as in its current state? Or
It is definitely turning around, especially over the last year. It has made leaps and bounds.
Yeah. Now, and we'll talk a little bit, about the COVID and the reimbursement and things like that. But, you know, the turnaround, how much of that is related, in your view, to whatever support the hospital has been getting under the different COVID relief packages?
Under the COVID relief, you can't compare apples to oranges under that. Mm-hmm. You take COVID out, completely out of it, and the hospital's financial turnaround has been significant.
Wow. Okay.
Which is tremendous. And over the last year, it's only been made improvements. And we within the hospital administration, we jokingly call it turnaround 1.0 because turnaround 2.0 is coming next.
Yeah.
And that's the part that we're rolling out. So we continue to monitor that. And our board is hands-on. I mean, when decisions are being made and we're moving forward, our board is well-informed, and they make sure they want to stay involved and continue to operate because, as I said, they're wanting to remain in the public and be part of the public and continue to meet the community needs that we have.
Which sort of hospital services do you feel like Greenwood LaFleur is doing really well?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble with my physician.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Well, is there anything that you want to highlight and say, you know what, when I came here, you know, I was really, really impressed by what these folks were doing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll tell you from the perspective of the hospitals in the Delta, one of the areas with the transfer of the COVID and everything right now is we have a top-notch pulmonology area of the hospital that is here to meet the needs of the COVID patients. And so our ICU, our COVID unit, they're actually staffed by pulmonologists.
You know, Jason, I want to go ahead and take a quick break, and this is what I want to get into when we come back for the second half. You're listening to Delta Talk. Our guest is CEO Jason Studley, CEO of the LaFleur, Greenwood LaFleur Hospital.